ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, Text Number 15, which doesn't have a purport, so I'll read that verse and then go on to 16 and 17. Is it available? Okay. Okay. Sannivesha mano yasmin shaddaya muniyo malaha traigunyam dustyajan hitva sadyo yathashta atmanam sannivesha, giving full attention. Manaha, the mind. Yasmin, unto whom? Shraddhaya, with faith and devotion. Munayaha, great saintly persons. Amallaha, freed from all contaminations of sin. Traigunyam, the three modes of material nature. Dusjajam, very difficult to give up. Hitva, they can nonetheless give up. Sadyaha, immediately. Yataha, achieved. Tadatmanam, the spiritual quality of the Supreme. Translation. Great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty, and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it possible to open the front door? A crack, so we get across ventilation? Thank you. Would you like to repeat? Okay. Great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty. And they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 16 and 17. Shuto bhagiratajj gyagne tasyanapo paro bhavat sindhu dvipas tatas tasmad ayutayus tato bhavat ritu parno nalasakko Yoshva vidyam ayanmalat Dutvaksha hridayam chasmai Sarvakamas tutatsutam Shutaha. A son named Shuta. Bagirat. From Bagirat. Yagne was born. Tasya of Shuta. Nabaha by the name of Nabha. Aparaha, different from the Nabha previously described. Abhavat was born. Sindhudvipaha by the name Sindhudvipa. Tataha from Nabha. Tasmad from Sindhudvipa. Ayutayuhu, a son named Ayutayu. Tataha, thereafter, Abhavat was born. Rituparnaha, a son named Rituparna. Nalasakaha, who is a friend of Nala. Yaha, one who. Ashvavidyam, the art of controlling horses. Ayat, achieved. Nalat, from Nala. Dattva, after giving an exchange. Akshahridayam, the secrets of the art of gambling. Cha, and asmai, unto Nala. Sarvakamaha, by the name Sarvakama. To, indeed. Tatsutam, by his son, the son of Rituparna. Do you remember all that? Okay. Here's the translation. Bhagiratha had a son named Shruta, whose name was Nabha. This son was different from the Nabha previously described. Nabha had a son named Sindhudvipa. From Sindhudvipa came Ayutayu, and from Ayutayu came Rituparna, who became a friend of Nalaraj. Rituparna taught Nalaraj the art of gambling, and Nalaraj gave Rituparna lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Rituparna was Sarvakama. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talent in this art of gambling. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, and home because they were not expert in the art of gambling, in the gambling art. In other words, a devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam sajivam sadvaitam sadvadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. So as a reminder, these chapters, what we've come to at this point is a description of how finally Bhagirath brought the Ganga down from the spiritual world onto the head of Lord Shiva and to the planets where his ancestors had been burned to ashes because they offended Kapiladev. And the only way that they could be redeemed is by coming in contact with Ganga. And it was over several generations of trying that Bhagirath appeared and was able to complete the task. And he had to make concessions with Ganga, who didn't want to come to the world unless there was a male who could handle her on his head. And also, she was afraid that people would come and bathe in her waters and leave her sins. So Bhagirath arranged that Lord Shiva would catch Ganga in his hair and regulate her flow into the material world. And also that pure devotees, who are walking places of pilgrimage, Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Swantakstena Gadabrata, as mentioned in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, would be able to purify even Ganga when they would come and take their bath there. And now there's a continuation of a description of the lineage of Bhagirath going forward in this chapter. And there are numerous descriptions. In fact, there's a long list of kings and their dynasties and their legacy going all the way up to the 10th canto till we see the appearance of Lord Krishna. The acharyas have commented that the mention of kings and the way that they have reversals of fortune in their life is a way in which people may also assess the dangerous condition of the material world, that anything can happen to anyone at any time. We see all throughout the Bhagavatam that even amidst pure devotees, there are reversals of fortune, there is trouble from the material side. And that there is no guarantee here in this material world of any safety or any outcome that one plans on. So in the purport, Prabhupada gives some specific instruction. First, he talks about the Pandavas, and he makes an astounding statement. By the grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, and home because they were not expert in the gambling art. This is something that Narada Muni mentioned when he visited the Pandavas. He said, you're best friends with Krishna. He comes and lives in your house. And look at all the troubles you've gone through. What kind of mercy is this? But for those who have made a firm determination to leave the material world, when these kinds of reversals come unsought, they take it as the mercy of the Lord. And there's a way in which the internal and external energy work simultaneously to assist a devotee. For instance, in the case of Vidura, who was a pure devotee living amongst those who are envious of Krishna. There was a time at which an altercation broke out in the house, and Duryodhana was deeply criticizing Krishna, and the Pandavas and Vidura argued against Yudhishthira's taking part in any of Duryodhana's designs to usurp the kingdom from the Pandavas. And Duryodhana became infuriated and wanted to do bodily harm to his relative Vidura and criticized him in the meanest possible way that he could. And at that time, Vidura simply walked out of the house and he left his bow and his other armaments on the doorstep and walked off into the night. And there was great relief in that. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in this description that the external maya and the internal maya, Krishna's energies internally and externally, were working simultaneously, bewildering Duryodhana and at the same time enlivening Vidura. For the devotees who are fixed on the goal of going back home, back to Godhead, everything that comes is taken as Krishna's arrangement and mercy. Tate anukampam susumikshamano bunjane evatmakritam vipakam hridvagvapurvir vididam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. And this says Brahma in the 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, when he offers his humble prayers to Krishna in surrender, is the quintessential attitude of the person who's qualified to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is that whatever comes, good or bad, even if the universe moves against me, I take it as Krishna's special mercy. And I take it also that I've caused this. In fact, the second line of the verse, Tate anukampam susumikshamano bunjane vatmakritam vipakam, our resident pandit Sri Mukunda Datto Prabhu was telling me about this verse once. And he said that this means vipakam. You know about the kumbhipaka, where people are cooked. Right? Yes? Kumbhipaka, you remember? They're cooked for their sins. And somebody said this word in the verse means that we've cooked ourselves, basically. You cooked your own goose. You cooked your own... You made your bed, now you lie in it. This is the idea. And the mentality of the devotee is never as a victim, but takes it that whatever comes to me, I accept as something I've done. And therefore, when the reaction comes, takes it as purification, and therefore welcomes the reaction. And therefore, Prabhupada boldly says here, and counterintuitively to those in the material world who have a vested interest here, which is a dangerous thing to do, to keep something here in the material world. Even Jesus said, don't keep your treasures here, keep them in heaven. They won't last here. But if I have the slightest vested interest here, then I'm full of fear. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita syad. I have a separate interest from the Lord. I have something I'm keeping for myself, and therefore I'm fearful. But a devotee has nothing to fear, and therefore, when these kinds of incidents take place where Krishna takes away something, they become appreciative. Of course, maybe not right away. There may be a process of in which one gradually begins to appreciate Krishna's mercy. Nonetheless, the devotees know the process, how to come to that point. if we suggested to other people that let there be disaster in your home or in your family, they would be terrified. Of course, anybody would be. Nobody gets up, Prabhupada says, and prays, let there be a disaster in my life today. Let the phone ring and let it be the IRS. Or, I can't think of anything worse, actually. So, then he goes on to say that, in other words, a devotee may not be expert in material activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. This reminds me of Tapana Mishra. In Chaitanya Lila, in the Adi Lila, Tapana Mishra is introduced as a brahmana who's very expert in the Shastra. And he became confused about the goal of life because he had read so many books and he didn't know what to do. And there is quoted an important verse from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which the injunction is that one should not read too many books or take too many disciples, collect too many ideas from different places, because then one will not be able to ascertain what the ultimate goal of life is. So Tapana Mishra was very expert in the Shastra. And many people are expert in many things, but because they're not connected to Krishna, they have no real value. They simply become a cause of confusion. Whereas a devotee who may be very simple and does service for Krishna with a sincere heart becomes an exalted soul. Exalted soul in the Chaitanya Lila, when Mahaprabhu was showing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead during the Mahaprakash at the Srivasangam, Srivasacharya's house, actually. Then he noticed that there was one servant in the house who was doing behind-the-scenes service, one of the invisibles. In fact, there's a book called The Invisibles, and it's about people in every organization who do work behind the scenes. No one sees them. They're not the front people. But they're always serving diligently, I can hear some of them outside right now, moving forklifts and whatever they're doing. And he noticed, amidst all these great devotees, one serving woman in the back who is lining up pots of Ganges water for the devotees, for the bathing ceremony. And he detected that her service was so sincere that he asked about her. Draw the attention of Mahaprabhu is the objective of the devotees, to simply get his glance by one sincere service. And he turned his full attention amidst all these great devotees to this one woman doing simple service and said, "Who is this?" And Srivas Thakur said, "This is our in-house servant. Her name is Dukhi," which means miserable. And Mahaprabhu then renamed her Sukhi. And by her recognition, she became an exalted personality. Simple service, but done in the right mood. Not necessarily materially expert, although there is some expertise in one's service when it's done sincerely. But those who try to acquire many different kinds of expertise, Prabhupada mentions specifically in the context of reading too many books. He says, we've printed some books. This is in the Adi Lila, and then it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, related to the verse I mentioned before. Before, meaning about reading too many books and the injunction not to do it. He says that we have written books, but then devotees go out and they get so many other books, austere books, he said, many austere books. And then they try to read all these books before they've assimilated what he's already given and so forth. Not necessary. If one concentrates fully and sincerely on what's been given, then one can very easily understand and ascertain the goal of life. So Tapana Mishra was in this situation of being confused. He had a dream that a Brahmin came to him and told him, go meet Nimai Pandit, because he can tell you What is the goal of life? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Tapana Mishra then went to meet Nimai Pandit and surrendered to him and said, what should I do? What is the goal of life? And he told him, chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna. That solved his problem. Then he also told him to go to Benares, and no one could figure out why. But later on we find out in the Madhya Lila that Mahaprabhu was going there and he wanted Tapana Mishra's service there. So there are simplified instructions throughout the Shastra. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj gives this list of the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtanam. If you look in the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami gives what he calls is the essence of all advice. Tanama Rupa Charitaru Kirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyoja. Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akinam Ityupadeshasaram. And he says everything in one verse, beginning with the process of hearing and chanting and remembering the Lord, simple processes, one can step by step come to the point of following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and then one can actually live there, can attain the highest goal, perfection. So it's simplified. It's given as saram, the cream, the essence of all advice. And similarly, in the Chaitanya Manjusha, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavaran Ramya Kachirupasana Vraja Vidu Vargena Valkalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumarta Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatra Para Na Para. I missed the last part. In any case, it's a consolidation of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be the most important. One is that Krishna and his dham are non-different, that the highest service was that which was performed by the gopis of Vrindavan, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority on all subjects, and that the ultimate goal of life is attain love for God. Simplified. And many other ways. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when teaching Sanatan Goswami, also tells him that there are 5 activities: living in the holy dham, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sorry? And worshiping the deity. These 5 are the staying connected with these 5 activities, one can attain perfection. So one may see, the mind may invent many reasons to try to become expert in many different sciences and arts and reading many books. But if one simplifies one's devotional objectives and simply takes what's been given and becomes expert in that, follow the simple path very strictly, rather than inventing a new path, which is a tendency, then one can become very successful. And finally, Prabhupada gives this very powerful advice: a devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take to sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. So there's a regulative principle that Prabhupada mentions in the Srimad Bhagavatam in one of his purports. And he said that regulative principle is that one must not fall down. And therefore, he says, one must be careful. That is also a regulative principle. You have to be careful because although one may have taken to the process of devotional service, if one develops the wrong attitude about it or makes offenses while chanting or associating with the devotees, one may then open the door for Maya to come in. Now, that's a scary prospect. People come knock on your door sometime, and if you open the door to the wrong person, you might end up buying a $2,000 vacuum cleaner that you didn't need. Or much worse. You have to be careful about who you open the door to. And there's a way in which, through a lax attitude or a prideful attitude, thinking that I'm the way I teach is better than everyone else, my position is better than everyone else, it opens the door for Maya. Therefore, it's the recommendation of Queen Kunti is one should always remain a Kinchana, means I have no qualification at all. That doesn't mean that one shouldn't do one's duty properly. It doesn't mean that one shouldn't step up and take responsibility in the Krishna consciousness movement. But it means internally one should consider all this has been given to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representative, and I must do my duty dutifully and give very carefully and not take it for granted and not let it go to my head. Nirmana moha jitta sanga dosha. One should be nirman without this false pride. And when the door opens and then pride walks in, or Maya walks in and sits down, then she makes herself at home when I justify. That's the next thing, justification. I say, okay, it's okay that I'm in Maya because fill in the blanks. There's so many reasons why it's okay. And generally it comes in the form of entitlement. Because previously I've done so much service, because I have an exemption. But one should consider, I have no exemption. I am not liberated. I have nothing. I have only the mercy of my spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at every moment I have to be vigilant. Otherwise one will fall down, because Maya is always waiting right outside the door. And the minute I open it a crack, she'll come in and make herself at home. And it's really hard to get her out the door again once she comes in. So one has to be careful and vigilant to guard against Maya. And now we'll take just a couple of minutes of reflections. Means one thing you heard so far that stuck in your mind. And then I have another part of the class that I'm going to introduce. So please, I know Archita's not here, but if somebody else who knows how the closet works back there could grab the second microphone and bring it out. Okay, then let's just pass around a quick reflections. Go ahead. Pass it on to Kurnath and back to Bahushra.
I don't need a $2,000 vacuum cleaner.
Well, you may need a $2,000. I didn't say you didn't need one. But you may not need it, but if anyway. Bahushira.
There was one devotee who wanted to translate our godbrother, no names, Bhaktivinoda's books, and Prabhupada told him, "You're anxious to go after the cobra, but you're afraid of the snake." And then it was like, huh? And you think about it. Well, the cobra is the deeper books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but you don't even want to understand my teachings. And unfortunately, the devotee later fell down. So that's why we have to have Prabhupada's books as the basis for our Krishna consciousness.
Well, one thing is that, just as a comment to that, if one reads the entire Srimad Bhagavatam every year, at least that, which means that you have to read 41 pages a day, which is not much, because it only takes, in most of the cantos, about an hour and 15 minutes. In other cantos, it can be up to as much as 2 hours. But all you need is to get yourself from the store. You can order it on the internet, so you don't have to drive anywhere. A do not disturb sign, and put it up. And take that time. You can put one up in your mind also and say, don't bother me right now because I have my duty to do. Prabhupada mentions in the Antilila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books published. Otherwise, they will return to eating, sleeping, and fall down. So that's an important instruction, to read all the books. And it doesn't mean to read them once. It means to read them constantly. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be read every day. And the fact is, when Devahuti said, how do I get out of the bodily conception of life? It seems to be impossible to escape. Lord Kapiladev gave this instruction. And that is, you have to hear for a long time. And that's important because we can arrange to hear more. And if we hear Prabhupada's purports, there'll be no doubt. The mind becomes clarified, the intelligence becomes purified. And if that becomes a preoccupation, there's just no time for other things. It's not a matter of avoidance or anything else. It's a positive injunction. Take what you have and digest it. And when you have, then you'll see how other things relate to it, and you'll be able to properly connect them. Otherwise, what's the basis or the frame of reference? Two more?
Hare Krishna, thank you. I was reflecting on your comment about opening the door even a little, and then Maya comes right in. She's waiting. And I was thinking of something that Prabhupada told us, which is that the living entity is always active by nature. But if he's not, or she, if we are not active at every moment in Krishna's service, that's leaving the door open. That time, that moment when you're not engaged in doing something for Krishna is equivalent with leaving that door open. And so sometimes devotees may think, oh, I'm very mellow and I'm calm, and I'm, but if they're not engaged in service, what are they doing with that moment or those minutes or hours? And I just recall Prabhupada saying, that's when Maya comes in, when you're not serving.
Nice. My experience in organizing a community is that when there's a clear mission, a clear goal. Prabhupada told Karandar, I think it was 1971, letter he wrote to him, that you should always create a fresh challenge for everyone to rise up and meet. A fresh challenge. And when the community is organized around a clear goal that is related to Sankirtan, missionary activities, going out and giving to others. And part of that is coming back in and giving to yourself, this combination, which I've said before. There's rice, which is an excellent food. People eat it all over the world and survive quite nicely. And there's also beans, like dal, which are very nice, right? But if you mix them together, there's a synergy, 43% more nutrition, according to Jamuna's cookbook. And it becomes a superfood. So hearing and chanting, and then going out to give people Krishna consciousness in the form of distributing books about Krishna, which is the primary delivery system for this message, and chanting the holy names so that people naturally become elevated in Krishna consciousness, even without their knowledge, prasadam and so forth. And these two things go on simultaneously. Around those, every month one can make a fresh goal that people will want to rise up and meet. And the time just goes by. 10 years will go by in making new goals every month, thinking, how are we going to make this goal? Everyone's preoccupied with that rather than like, why'd he say that to me and he said that to him? You don't have time for it because you've got a goal to reach. We should have goals, not just for how many books to distribute and how many Harinam parties to send out, but also how many pages we're reading every day. They both have to go on. In fact, oftentimes when devotees would report their book distribution scores, Prabhupada would say, are they reading the books? And obviously he wanted the books to be distributed, but both must be there. Rick Warren, our neighbor who's not too far down the coast, lives in Saddleback, Orange County. Does anybody know Rick? Bhakta Rick. He runs the largest, or I don't know if it's the largest, but one of the most successful Baptist churches in America. Very progressive thinker. I've written a couple of books. One of them is called The Purpose-Driven Church, which I read and I recommend. It's a fantastic book. But in community building, he talks about how a principle from the Bible called the Nehemiah principle, in which it recalls a story of a group getting together to build a wall. And it took them 29 days to build the wall, I believe. Purnath will correct me. He knows everything historic. And And halfway through, they became disgruntled and lost their way. And he had to come out and remind them why they were building it. So there's this principle that everyone has to be reminded of what is the mission. For instance, if you met people coming out the door and you say, what is our mission? If you met people, you meet people coming out from our own group and you say, what is our ultimate mission here? What would everyone tell you? Do I know my mission exactly what it is? But when that's clear, then the devotees have a fresh challenge. They have something that they're aiming at and then they can think of doing on a regular basis. And this helps to keep the mind engaged and devotees always active in devotional service. And his point was that one has to reiterate that mission constantly because everyone starts to think of new missions. And it goes off in many different directions. Yes. Another one? Yeah.
Well, since you just mentioned that the mission, why don't you say the way that you perceive that? Since you were just saying you could ask everybody as they walk out what the mission is, since you gave that question, so I'd like to hear your answer. And the question, I thought, nice thing to expand on a little bit. In the first verse that you read, it was about how the sages take on the same nature, same quality as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was thinking we always say, Saksat Hari Twaina, that the spiritual master is honored as much as the Supreme Lord. So just a little bit how one becomes purified. He has the same nature, same qualities as the Lord. That just because it was in the first part, and then the class went different direction. But if you could mention the way that you say, if someone asked you as you walked out the door what the mission was.
Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is the mission. To show compassion to all living entities by widely spreading the holy names, loudly chanting the holy names. The louder the better, and the loudest is the Brihat Madanga, according to our acharyas.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, yes, was there something here? Yes. Bhakti Norma.
Hare Krishna. So I have a very important question, and I always embother me, because I have a baby, he's 10 months old, and Oscar, my son, too. So I'm a housewife. And then I know I'm helping Sankirtan with Gopihita cooking sometimes. I make cookies sometimes too. But I'm feeling like it's not enough. I had to go out and preach. But you know, the baby in my family, they say always to me, the baby's like a deity worship. And I know and understand I love my baby. And if I go out, I try sometimes in Friday in Sankirtan and Harinam. But even if I care my baby, sometimes he's like whining or and I don't know. Where you can tell me advice or something.
Well, recently we had a seminar at our temple at ISKCON Silicon Valley in Mountain View, and the devotees had a weekend long, 3 days, called SOS, Sankirtan Orientation Session, in which they offered an invitational to devotees all over the world to come and learn different aspects of Sankirtan book distribution. And one of them was presented by the parents who oversee the school there. There's about 120 children. And they all go out on Sankirtan. And so one of the visiting devotees who was very interested in getting that going in his own community said, so at what age do the kids start going on book distribution? And the devotee who was presenting said, I think it was Kameshwari. She said, well, I think around when they're in the baby carriage. And then actually before that. She said, what do you mean before that? She said, well, when they're in the womb, they're going out. Because the parents, you know, even when they're pregnant, they're going out. Because everyone goes out. And they go out, the whole family goes out. And then the kids go out too. And by the time the kids are 5, I mean, they're already experts. They're selling sets of Bhagavatams door to door. And the first time we thought of this, I took out a group of 6 5-year-olds, because I thought, is this possible? Am I going to get arrested? I mean, will I be kicked out of ISKCON? But I went out with several parents and 6 5-year-olds, and we went door to door. I was taking them around. And that we came to one door. The woman was already out of her house, standing on the porch. And she saw me dressed like this. She saw the kids, saw the books. And she goes, oh, no. She said, I'm a born-again Christian. No, thank you. And the kids charged at her and surrounded her. They didn't know what that meant. And they were standing around showing the book, all of them at once, going, here, Krishna, and that's a cow. You see the cow? And then that's the Krishna. He swallowed a snake. And they're going on and on. They're like talking to her. She's just becoming overwhelmed and charmed at the same time. And she looks up at me, who I'm standing still 10 yards away watching this all happen. And she looks at me and she goes, all right, how much is it? And I said, this will work, you know. And so, very carefully and in a customized way to meet the needs of all the children, the parents very carefully go out with all the kids. And it's a different kind of program. They stop at regular intervals to have snacks and do different things. But the kids are the ones who actually drove the program to want to do this. As we started doing it, they started volunteering. I mean, when we'd mentioned book distribution, they're like, I want to go. They'd all raise their hands. Let's go out. And it developed into a program. And just recently, one of our devotees at our temple, Hansapriya, saw a group of the kids sitting over in a corner of the temple room talking to each other. So she went over there with her plate of prasad. It was after the Sunday feast, and she was just getting time to take. And she sat down just to kind of, you know, hear what they were talking about. And they're having this debate about how to improve their book distribution. And one of them was saying, you know, we should also take Gornitai deities around with us. And the other one was saying, but people can't worship him unless they're initiated. And then the other ones were the back and forth. So it's now at the ISV, the kids, they come home, they count their own Lakshmi, they record it, they learn accounting. And my point is that, I mean, you can raise a kid and try to get him an MBA, you know, get them to that point. But that's nothing compared to them growing up, learning how to do book distribution. I mean, lots of MBAs are incompetent. All they know is how to make charts. But when kids learn from the very beginning of life how to go out and present the Srimad Bhagavatam and talk to people and, you know, preach Krishna consciousness, they get street smarts. They're ready to become leaders. And we see already from the kids, they're starting to step up as leaders of the Sankirtan organization. During our Ishta Goshtis, when we all come together, and the kids are there too, they're raising their hands with all kinds of suggestions. One of the last times, so the kids, you're all talking to, and these are kids from Indian families. They say, you're talking to too many Indian families. We need to talk to more Westerners. And they have all these, they're getting intelligence. Tesham satad yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So I don't, personally, if it's organized properly, and according, everyone has their own situation, and it all has to be worked out. I'm just saying that it does work to engage kids in Sankirtan. It's a Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada said everyone should go out. There was a letter to one of the senior leaders in our movement who was trying to keep women from going out at one point. And Prabhupada said, why are you telling women they can't go on Sankirtan? This is ridiculous. He said, I want everybody to go out. This is a Sankirtan movement. So the fact is, the temple is an organism. And it has to breathe. Cells have to breathe, the body has to breathe. Breathe means that the breath has to go out. So the way our community breathes is everyone goes out. And when you go out, that's when you get the oxygen. Because when devotees go out, like yesterday, just standing next to the book booth, I was standing there minding my own business. Of course, I was holding a few books. But people just walking by, and things just naturally happened. And I became so invigorated and enlivened. And there were other devotees walking around, and at some point I tried to talk to one or two of them, but they were so intoxicated by this approaching people and seeing the spirit soul within that they didn't want to stop and talk to the likes of me. They wanted to keep distributing books. They couldn't stop doing it. It's that spirit that actually brings up the whole community. That's what makes the kirtans ecstatic. That's what makes everyone want to dress the deities in ways that are stunning. And Sankirtan runs the whole, the goal of Sankirtan going out makes the coming in very powerful. Shushu shrota shradhanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya viprapunya tirta nishevanat. When there's great service done to the pure devotee, then one develops this affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So, I don't know, maybe Sankirtan could help. But there may be, you know, more discussion about that, but that's one idea. And I just want to take a couple minutes to hear any highlights you had from the Sankirtan. What was the highlight for you? Yes. From the festival.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, I met one young boy. He said he just got Bhagavad Gita a few days back, and now he walked into the festival, and he was interested in Vedanta. So I presented him with Srimad Bhagavatam and Science of Self-Realization, and he was very happy to get that. So there's no.
He was interested in Vedanta. Nice. What else? Rameshwar Prabhu.
I met an interesting man at the book table. He had just gotten out of jail, and he had been a little estranged from his family. Thank you. And he had a daughter, a young daughter, and he felt because he was so estranged by being in jail, how can he ever be a good influence, a good father? So he was coming over to our book table telling me, this girl, she's young, but she loves to read. And I don't know what to do. I just got out of jail. I don't have any money. So we were talking, and he got the nicest book, like young adult book that we had at the book table. It was something about Lord Ram's life, part one and two, but it was just really perfect for his daughter's age. And he became so enlivened. We're telling him a little bit the story, and he started imagining himself explaining this to his daughter, giving it to her as a gift, and finally, like, developing that a nice relationship with her after just coming out of jail. So for me, that was a very nice moment at the festival.
Thank you very much. Highlights? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So I met one guy yesterday while I was doing book distribution. So as soon as I approached him, he took that book and he saw all the books and started reading. And he saw that book and he became very overwhelmed. And he said, "I was waiting for this book long time. This kind of books." And he asked so many questions, and I told him about the chanting Maha Mantra, and he chanted with me, and he said, "I really like that, and I want to do more kirtan. How can you do have any program like that?" So I told him, "Yeah, you can come on Sunday first in temple." I saw him, I show him the address and everything. He said, "Oh, this is into my work schedule," I said. And then he waited a little bit. "Oh, I will change my work schedule and come in temple and I'll do this kirtan. And I want to associate more." So actually that touched me so much, that how Prabhupada mercy distributing everything.
Some of us were talking last night about how seeing the enthusiasm of new people just discovering Krishna consciousness reintroduces us each time. Vicariously, we experience the, you know, coming to Krishna consciousness for the first time. That's why it's so important to meet people and give them Krishna consciousness. Manmo.
Well, when I was passing out the packets, I didn't want anyone to pass without getting one. So if people would say no, I would say, "But I've been cooking all week, and the pasta especially is incredible. It's got artichoke hearts and olives, sun-dried tomatoes," and I went on, and they'd stop. They'd say, "Oh, really?" And then I explain about, you know, it's for free, and go to the... And it, from then on, they started opening up because I was bringing it down home, and inevitably they took a book. Almost everybody took a book.
There you go. You can pass the mic. Such an annoying.
Prabhupada, the questions and answers is my favorite, one of my favorites, and the book table too. A couple was, a well-to-do couple, good-looking, were listening to your answers, and you were mentioning a lot about the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the books, and I noticed that they were, one of them was, you know, Googling, and he was looking at the book, staring at the book. Every time you will mention, she will go and get closer. And for us, you know, I was looking at most of the devotees there, but I always was interested to see who is the new people there. Then, after some time, they walk away, and I thought, these are ripe mango, like the ripe fruit. So I follow them. I said, are you familiar with this? Have you ever read it? Yeah, we follow them. You know,
that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, what do you think about this? Have you read this? He said, no. Have you heard about the Srimad Bhagavatam? No, now. I said, please come to the big booth table. So this is very exciting for us to see the new people there. For us, it's very good too, but we always want to see the new people getting there.
One highlight was during the procession, when we got right down, you can pass back to Amala Bhakta, but right down to the corner where you turn onto the beach, there were a congregation of those sign-carrying, very enthusiastic Kanishta Adhikaris, and they were broadcasting their message very vehemently. And it was the best part of our kirtan. When we came there and we were stuck right next to them, the devotees went wild. And even Savas, who was so much engaged with his bullhorn and everything, came over and he started jumping and jumped into the kirtan. And I saw in that moment that under pressure, when we have confrontation, when we're actually faced with adversity, then we come to our higher best selves, and the kirtan becomes even better. And that's why fighting this war here on earth that we're doing, you know, we have to fight this war, and we have to take it like, we really have to take it to Maya. And then when she hits back, that's when we actually improve. When we have money in the bank and everything looks okay, and we think I'm okay, then we just languish and rot on the vine. But when we're fighting and emptying the coffers for more ammunition and getting it out as fast as we can, and just depending on Krishna for everything, that's when devotees actually rise to their highest level of Krishna consciousness. And the kirtan becomes the sweetest then, when there's something at stake. Yes, Amla, Bhakta Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Very appreciative. I just had a very odd experience yesterday. At my table, as you know, I have audio books there, and I also have some of the books that I wrote. But I also keep a box of our own books as well, and I stand in front of the table, generally giving out those books. Now, often people will stop as a result of giving out. For example, Coming Back is the book I distribute regularly. So one lady, she was about 25 years old, I would say, and she stopped, and she looked at the book, and then she said, could you answer a question for me? I said, I'll try my best. She said, are there such things as soulmates? I said, yes, there are such things as soulmates. She said, would you please explain that to me? I won't go into that. You can just read Prabhupada's books of how people are attracted to one another as a result of past activities, past interests, past associations, past attractions, etc. So I went through that whole thing. It took about 10 minutes to go through it, and she was kind of like riveted to the explanation. She had never heard anything like that before. So when it was all over, I said it would also be very nice for you to get this CD that I have, which is called A Second Chance. And you get the whole understanding of what happens at the end of life and how we can make our future life a sublime and perfect by simply doing the right things throughout our life. And she said, well, that sounds really good. And then she said, but I don't have any money. So my friend, associate Gopal was standing next by He said, well, I'll buy it for you. I said, well, that's fine. So I took it and I put it in her hand. And I said, it's $15. So he took out $15 and he immediately put it down on the table. I said, you see, that's what we're all about. Giving, 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 giving. No questions asked. She says, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And then she says, can I give you a big hug? Uh-oh. So I said, I don't think so. I said, anybody got a camera here? That's going to go viral, and I'll never get to take sannyas next month. So I said to her, may I do the following? I put my palms together. I'll bow my head to you, and also I'll give you a big handshake. Would that be okay? She said, that'd be wonderful. So that's exactly what happened. She got the CD, and she got the book, and I told her, please read it. Please absorb yourself in it. You don't know this, but I have truly saved your life with this book and also the CD. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful class. Highlight for me yesterday, I had opportunity to distribute a Bhagavad Gita, but then it was time for me to go into the gift shop, which was wonderful because we were meeting these people who had just come for the first time and they were so excited. And it was very sweet, but we were feeling something was missing. So then we went and got a case of Bhagavad Gitas and started distributing out of the bookshop. I mean, out of the gift shop.
Nice. That's a good point. I was talking to Brigupati Prabhu this morning about how in San Francisco, Rath Yatra, we experimented with increasing the numbers of tables. Some devotees had the theory that we would cannibalize the other tables and it would all be a wash. But we found that the more we increased the number of tables, book distribution, and it's a tiny little Rath Yatra. It's like a picnic in the park compared to this here. But we kept, every year we would increase the number of book tables we had around the area, and every year the scores would go up. So then we even had what we call a flex table, which means when we see a crowd of people gathering somewhere, we have one table where the devotees would run over, set up the table, just set it up right in the middle and stand there like... And one right next to the prasadam line, because people have to wait for a long time. It's like at the supermarket when they're waiting and they see Star Magazine and, you know, the bubble gum and stuff. Oh, I guess I'll take that too. And so there's in the presentation I give in seminars called the Four Laws of Book Distribution, the third law is the more you show, the more you sell. And whenever you show these books, people will come and take them because jivas are just wandering around looking for trouble in the material world. And when they see stuff, they want it. That's what they do here. They're just bumping around and they see something. There's an advertisement for Coca-Cola that says, pour out the happiness. And they say, oh, all right, we'll have Coca-Cola. And all the cells in the body are screaming, no, don't do it. But they're like, oh, no, no, I saw the sign. So if you get the books and you put them out, people will walk around and they'll see the books. And you can be a mother, you can be a dentist, you can be anywhere. It doesn't matter, but if you just make them visible, you don't have to be have a presentation lined up or anything like that. If you just make them available, Krishna will make the arrangement. So you just go out and show the books. So it was a momentous weekend. Everyone here could give their impressions and their highlights. And these festivals, in fact, every day is a festival, and we're meant to follow these principles so that we can come and participate in these with an open heart and mind and take in these impressions. And as the impressions of our connection with Krishna and the devotees and the holy name gather in our hearts, then the cumulative effect is that we develop this feeling for Krishna and a desire to have more and more, and this is the goal of life. So wonderful work, everybody, working as a team to put on this big festival. Let's have a hand for all the invisibles who are out there right now taking care of... And every day can be a new experience if you just carry some books with you wherever you go and just offer them to people wherever you go. Whomever you meet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, try to give them Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada told Dayananda and his wife Nandarani in a letter, if you just try to do this, if you just try, you will get superior strength and knowledge in Krishna consciousness. It will make you rise to a higher level. And I have a parting gift based on the principle of Dadati Pratiganati and my bag here for everybody. So I'd like to give a little gift just as after we end the class, if that's okay with you. But if you'd rather not have it, may I? You want it? Okay. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpa durvascha kripa sindhavevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Sankirtan yagya ki jai Gopremanande Nitai Gaura Haribol 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol Nitai Gaura Haribol Haribol Haribo, Nitai Gaura, Haribo. Hare Krishna, Radhe.